agree or disagree.
Bitcoin, the world's first decentralized digital currency, was launched in 2009 by someone known only by the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto. The digital currency is a growing phenomenon. Launched during the global financial crisis, it has attracted a lot of attention. It is peer-to-peer, completely electronic, unregulated, and not controlled by any government. There are 11 million coins in existence today, and there will be 21 million ever created. On the news of economic instability in Cyprus, the value of Bitcoin skyrocketed from $40 to over $266, and then crashed back to as low as $40 again. Hello, welcome back. I'm Marina Joshi, and today with my guest, I'm discussing the phenomenon of Bitcoin. Is this digital currency a scam, another Ponzi scheme, or as some may see it, a road to freedom with no manipulation and control from central banks? I'm joined to discuss this by Margaret Bogenrief, who's a partner at ACM Partners, and Mark Thornton, an economist and a senior fellow at Ludwig von Mises Institute. Well, in Germany, bitcoins are acknowledged as a unit of account or private money. It adds some legitimacy, of course, to the digital currency, but that has to be yet acknowledged by other countries, which are not all that enthusiastic about Bitcoin. So how is Bitcoin perceived in the United States? I mean, what do Americans think about this currency?
Well, I would say, you know, a lot of the problems that you raise about it being risky and virtual and, you know, you might lose it and this and that and the other thing, or it's not backed by anything. Well, all of those features are true of the U.S. dollar and other government currencies. You can, you know, a lot of our money is stored electronically in, you know, on in accounting forms. You know, it's nothing backing the U.S. dollar or other currencies. So all of the features that people raise against Bitcoin are also the same negative features of the U.S. dollar. And, you know, another slant against Bitcoin is that it's used by drug dealers and people evading taxes and doing illicit things. But, you know, the U.S. dollar is the biggest currency used by drug dealers and smugglers and tax evaders. I mean, people who are doing business in cash are avoiding taxes, they're using the cash they're generally using is U.S. dollar. So all of the things that people raise against Bitcoin are also the same things that are raised against the U.S. dollar. The only thing about Bitcoin is its value is very volatile.
It also doesn't have a massive 200-plus-year-old government with the largest economy in the world backing it up. I mean, I appreciate those esoteric comparisons, but part of what makes the dollar believable is, you know, yes, there's not something backing it up, but part of what makes it a coherent currency is it is backed by the United States government. So I think that that's something to think about. And also, we have the biggest economy in the world, so of course people are using dollars. I mean, that it's, people are also using dollars because it's one of the most, you know, I hate to use this term, believed in currencies, right? It has the most kind of consumer understanding behind it.
Well, anonymity of the Bitcoin is one of the advantages of this digital currency. However, it's also seen as a threat by some governments because officials are concerned that the money may be used for illegal activity and other shady practices since the coins can be tracked.
Yeah, I think they do see it as a threat. The credit card companies and the central banks and the national treasury all see it as a threat. And, you know, Margaret's right. The U.S. has got this massive military force that it can dominate the world. It's got the world's largest economy and it's got the world's reserve currency. But hey, look at the U.S. dollar. I mean, Russia, China, India are all raising questions about the reserve currency status of the U.S. dollars, and they've started to load their portfolios with gold. So, you know, the future of the U.S. dollar, the longest standing fiat paper currency unbacked by any commodity in world history, is something that, you know, we can look at it today and say one thing, but 10 years from now, 5 years from now, with the U.S. debt being increased massively, that's undermining the value and the security of the U.S. dollar. And I think that that's, again, one of the reasons why people are looking desperately for things like gold, silver, and Bitcoin.
What would the world look like if the money was no longer controlled by central banks? I know this is not realistic, but just hypothetically speaking.
I would say that it's inevitably headed towards some kind of commodity-backed standard where people are dealing with credit cards and debit cards and checks and things like that, but their accounts are founded on the basis of gold and silver.
All right, Margaret?
Well, I'm always a little nervous about questions like that because it's basically saying, what would the economy look like if it wasn't an economy? I don't, like you said, that's not going to happen. I think Mark's outline is perfectly fair, but I do think what's interesting is how much all of this keeps coming back to traditional currencies, fiat currencies, like Mark said. You know, well, I'll put some in Bitcoin and, you know, that will protect it. I appreciate it. Anonymous issue. The problem is at some point, if you are a drug dealer and you're using Bitcoin in, you know, your operations, at some point to have it have a real world value outside of the things that you can use for it online, you have to convert it to a currency. And that's when governments start looking at it and saying, where does this $1 million come from?
Exactly.
So it may be anonymous, but at some point, you know, it has to come off the internet.
So that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people are worried, and especially government regulators, that the fact that the currency is not controlled, it poses a lot of questions as it can end up in the wrong hands. So their concerns must be valid then about this currency. Mark? What do you think?
I think, you know, regulators are looking at this very closely. You know, here in the United States, in England, in the European Union, and elsewhere, people are looking at this, governments are looking at this and saying, you know, what standards do we have to hold these new emerging virtual currencies to? And while I would prefer them not to do that, what we found is that the Bitcoin players are perfectly happy to have some government oversight over most of that marketplace, because it gives legitimacy to a currency which is virtual. It doesn't have any tangible backing, and so they're perfectly happy with it. I would prefer it to remain a purely market phenomenon, but that is unlikely to happen.
Well, part of the Bitcoin appeal lies in the fact that it's not controlled or monitored or regulated by any government. But in Germany, MPs say that the same legal and fiscal rules should apply to euros and bitcoins. So would this make the currency less attractive then?
Yes, it makes it less attractive. I mean, because it diminishes the marginal user from using Bitcoin. It takes away some of the benefits of using Bitcoin. And so they're going to have a repressive effect on Bitcoin and other, you know, emerging currencies. But as they do try to regulate these things and how they do try to detract from the anonymous nature of these things, future virtual currencies will be designed to avoid those traps.
Agree or disagree?
And here's a quick reminder for somebody who may be just joining us here in Radio VR that we're discussing the phenomenon of Bitcoin. And I'm joined to discuss this by Margaret Bogenrief, who is a partner at ACM Partners, and Mark Thornton, an economist and a senior fellow at Ludwig von Mises Institute. We're discussing the phenomenon of this digital currency, whether it's here to stay, or will it slowly fade away, or will it attract more followers? Well, at this point, there are some clear benefits Bitcoins can offer versus common currencies. For example, the fact that you can create your own wallet or account on a computer without using your name or providing any other personal information to set it up, which is a plus, as some may see it. Also, you can create as many accounts as you like. No central authority can edit the transactions record or seize Bitcoins, but this may not be always like that. I'm sure the governments will in some way or another try to get their hands on it and find a way to regulate the digital currency. And in the long run, this actually may make it less attractive, right?
Yeah, that's kind of my ultimate point is if you look at it right now, someone like me who obviously lives in the United States, I don't do Bitcoin. It just seems, I'm sure it's a very interesting exercise. I just don't do it because I look at the time that's built into it. I look at the way the system is created. So a few people hold the majority of the currency and the expectation that it will bump up or, well, hopefully not bump down for them. And so you're talking about, okay, so that's the benefit of it, right? It's that it's anonymous and I might be able to make some money off of it, but I look at it and I'm not going to mine Bitcoins on a Sunday afternoon. And then you look at it and you say, well, what if it becomes like more of a traditional currency, exactly what Mark was saying. What if it becomes more recognized and all of that? Well, then a lot of the benefit is gone, and I might as well just go become a currency trader.
So far, what speaks volumes is the interest that people around the world take in Bitcoin. Since 2009, the software to trade Bitcoins has been downloaded in 230 countries, including Vatican City and even Antarctica. And also, Bitcoin's gaining an appeal in China, where the central government has largely ignored Bitcoin so far, but the currency is growing fast, rivaling even the U.S. for the downloads. Well, at this point, at least in my opinion, Bitcoin is more of an experiment. There are clearly threats and opportunities involved and associated with the use of this digital currency. However, the authorities watching virtual currencies do not see them as posing risk to price stability or financial stability at this stage of the game, at least. And digital currencies rather pose a risk for users, as Bitcoins lack many of the safety mechanisms built into our current bank accounts. So if you lose, for example, your Bitcoin account details, you completely lose access to your Bitcoins, and they're then permanently lost. So that's a huge drawback in my view. So having said all that, what sort of future could you forecast for Bitcoin?
I would forecast it that because I see, you know, our national debt rising, and as I see the major economies of the world not dealing with their economic problems, but papering them over with dollars and debt, that things are going to happen in the world that are going to increase the demand for using Bitcoins.
And Margaret, what's your take?
I see that if that's the case, it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. If it does increase the opportunity, if you're a government, you're going to then say, well, we're going to have to make this taxed, and we're going to punish retailers and other groups that accept this. And, you know, then it just removes kind of the attraction of it. Do I think virtual currencies will stick around? Yeah, absolutely. I think once Bitcoin inevitably collapses, there will come another, like Mark said, that sneaks around government intervention. But I mean, it kind of reminds me of stockpiling before the year 2000. There are certain people who are going to use it and the majority won't. And that's typically how these things kind of play out until, you know.
Well, despite the controversy surrounding the Bitcoin, some companies are testing it out nonetheless, but some remain hesitant and unwilling to take the risks when it comes to integrating Bitcoins into their business because of Bitcoin having a reputation for being the currency of choice for those who make illegal purchases, which makes the U.S. Governing agencies suspicious of all organizations that use it. Others cite the biggest obstacle to Bitcoin's widespread adoption, its volatility. Well, whatever side of the debate you're on, whether you're a fan of Bitcoin or not, it's interesting to see what future has in store of this digital currency. And I was discussing pros and cons of Bitcoin with Margaret Bogenreef, who's a partner at ACM Partners, and Mark Thornton, an economist and a senior fellow at Ludwig von Mises Institute. And just to remind some of our listeners that you can drop me a line at radio.agreedisagree@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of the shows and perhaps share some of the suggestions as to what you'd like to hear in the future programs. For now, though, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.